As we think about the definition of miracles, as you know, on the Wednesday Bible studies, we've been actually looking at the miracles of the Messiah. And most of the time when you sit back and you think about what a miracle is, it's something that it almost defies the supernatural. And when we see a lot of these miracles that we've been studying over the past several months, you know, we could see where this is something that was out of the ordinary. It was something that doesn't usually take place. But you know, sometimes there are some of those miracles that take place that defy laws, like the laws of gravity, that defy laws that you and I know of. And they're the ones that really kind of make you scratch your head and say, man, I don't know how that happened, other than the fact that, as we know, it's a miracle from the Messiah. So today we want to look at yet another one of these miracles, and this is one of the miracles that actually defied some of the laws of physics that we know today. Today we're going to take a look at walking on the water out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. Grab that Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so glad that you have seen fit to join us today to spend a little bit of time around the Word of God. And we just trust and pray that God's going to speak to your heart in a great and an incredible way. Today we want to look at a passage that comes out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14. You can go ahead and turn there in your Bible. But as we look at this extraordinary episode from the life of Jesus, this is a miracle that holds several profound lessons for our own walk of faith. As we consider these things that are going to take place in the Scripture today, we're going to examine the event where Jesus walks on the water, and not only does Jesus walk on the water, he invites Peter to do the same thing. Now, this remarkable story is found in the book of Matthew. It's also recounted in a couple of the other Gospels, and I want to make mention to that in just a moment. When I get to a particular place, I want to highlight a point that is actually pointed out in one of the other Gospel renditions of this that we don't see in the one that we're going to be reading in Matthew today. But this is a remarkable story that reveals both the power of Jesus as well as the necessity of placing our trust in him, particularly amid the storms of life. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be reading out of Matthew's Gospel. It's actually only chapter 14, just go ahead and find verse 22. Now, as you find that, a couple of things we want to see today. The purpose of our Bible study today is to explore the depth of faith and the reactions of both Jesus and Peter during a moment of divine intervention. Okay, that's a big deal right there. This should encourage us to trust Jesus even when the circumstances seem like they're so insurmountable. Look with me if you would, read along with me, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning with verse 22. It says, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was alone there, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to you now, again, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would just ring forth in our heart. Father, I pray that as we take these moments to concentrate upon you, to just push the cares of the world aside for these moments, that we will have to to come together in your word. I pray that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit will use these words and will speak to us, and that, Father, there's a tailor-made message in these words today for each and every one of us that is suited to be right where we are in life right now. So, Father, I pray that you will help us to hear these words. As always, Lord, I pray that you would empower me as your message, your messenger of this message for these moments, and that you and you alone truly would be the one that is heard. For, Father, I am nothing and no one without you. So, Lord, bless our time that we spend today in your word. May it strengthen us, may it draw us close, and, Father, may it convict our hearts if we're walking outside of your will today. And finally, Father, I pray if there's one that doesn't know you, that through these words today, they would find the saving grace of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life. Bless our time, Father, as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, as we take a look at this particular miracle, to give you a little bit of historical context, this miracle was one that took place shortly after the feeding of the 5,000. That's the miracle that we talked about last week. And this is illustrating Jesus' compassion as well as his divine power. Now, I have been pointing this out for months now in just about every Wednesday Bible study, that every miracle that we seem to be taking a look at and studying, one of the major components that we see is the compassion of Jesus. And once again, this holds true in our scripture today. Okay, now, the Sea of Galilee is where this event occurred. And the Sea of Galilee is known for having all these sudden as well as very fierce storms just pop up out of the middle of nowhere. Now, we have to understand that when we look at this passage, the disciples that were in that boat were seasoned fishermen. This is huge. You know, seasoned fishermen were out there and they were caught on a storm, yet they were terrified of this storm and they were frightened even by the sight of Jesus walking on the water. Now, I've always shared this, you know, particularly in my church. I said, you know, if I'm up in an airplane, you know, and all of a sudden we're hitting turbulence and things are bouncing around, and I might get a little bit fretful. I might be sitting there going, you know, this something's not right. Is everything okay? Am I going to be okay? You know what? And then I hear the captain come on, and the captain makes this speech, and he's like, hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's from the flight deck. We're cruising along at 35,000 feet. I'm just going to ask you to, you know, please remain seated with your seat belts on. Nothing to be concerned about. Just got a little turbulence that can come up at any point right now. We just want everybody to be safe. And I can hear in the captain's voice that he is not worried at all about what's taking place. This is all normal. So, you know, I often sit back and say, you know what? If the captain's not worried about it, then I shouldn't be worried about it. Now, if the captain gets up screaming, we're all going to crash and die, then all of a sudden I think there's a time for me to be concerned at that particular point. But the captain didn't have any problem whatsoever on my flight, and the captain doesn't have any problem whatsoever in the miracle that we're looking about that we're looking at in the scriptures today. Now, yeah, I mentioned that there were these seasoned fishermen that were frightened by the storm. Okay, they were frightened. You know, they were terrified of the storm, but they were also frightened at the sight of Jesus walking on the water. Now, it's very, very interesting that in some of the other accounts of this particular scripture, it will say that some, you know, looked and said, it's a ghost. They thought maybe it was a ghost that they were seeing. One of the other very interesting points in one of the other gospel accounts of this particular scripture is simply this. It says that when Jesus was out there walking on the water, one of those accounts says, intending to pass them by. I think something critical is at stake that we need to make sure that we understand right there. Jesus was in the midst of their situation. Jesus was in the midst of their circumstance, and Jesus was waiting on them to recognize him and waiting on them to call on his name for help. And folks, let me make you a promise. If you're going through the storms of your life right now, I will make you a promise that as a believer, Jesus is in the midst of your circumstance. You may not be able to see him. There may be so much clutter in front of you. There may be so many things that we are worrying about, so many things that are distracting us that they're pulling our attention away from Jesus. But I will promise you that according to His Word, we can claim the promise that He is in the midst of our situations. He goes with us. He walks with us. He talks with us. There's no place, no circumstance, no situation that happens in our lives that Jesus doesn't know about. You know, I believe that there are times when He is simply waiting on us to recognize Him and call out to Him for help, to call on Him to deliver us from the circumstances or the situations that we might be going through. So notice what we said. There were disciples that were terrified by the storm, and they were frightened, first of all, at the sight of Jesus as He was walking on the water. And then there was something extraordinarily unusual about that, and that was simply this. Jesus was walking on the water. Last time I checked, people can't walk on water. I don't know about you, but if I try to walk on water, I sink rapidly, okay? But yet, in the midst of their troubles, they see one walking on the water, okay? Now, let's take a little deeper look at the Scripture. Let's analyze this passage and particularly see several key points that have emerged from the Scripture. First off, Jesus sends His disciples ahead of Him. Okay? You know, in other words, there was a big crowd there. Jesus was going to disperse the crowd. He's like, hey, you guys go ahead, hop in the boat, go on over to the other side. I'll meet up with you later. But Jesus also had something else in mind, and that was the opportunity for Him to draw Himself away to a quiet and secluded place so that He could spend some time in prayer with the Father as well. So he sends the disciples on ahead of Himself, but in doing so, He is creating an opportunity to demonstrate His power in their absence, okay? The disciples had seen Jesus do a lot of miracles. They had watched Him do some things, and I'm sure that in a lot of ways, they had no doubts about what His power really was. Now, while alone on a mountain praying, Jesus perceives their distress. Now, it's not like Jesus didn't know about that already. He already knew what was going to take place. He already knew what was going to happen. But He perceived their distress, and in doing so, He went to them. Can you see the parallel there for you and I today? When you find yourself in distress, Jesus knows that. He knows what's taking place. And not only does He know that, He will begin to head in your direction. Now, the only reason He would be separated from you is because you've pushed away from Him. Now, it's interesting enough. Jesus perceived their distress. He went to them, just like He will you. And when the disciples saw Him, their initial reaction was one of fear and disbelief. You know, this is really highlighting our human frailty. You know, the things that we see from the surface. And people would sit back and say, well, you know what? How would I have felt if I would have been one of the disciples in that boat? You know, first of all, I'm already scared to death of the storm. Remember, once again, I want to remind you, these were seasoned fishermen. They had been out on the water before. They had been in storms, but this one got their attention. They were very fearful. So in the midst of being afraid, then they look up and they see something supernatural taking place. They see something extraordinarily out of the ordinary. They see somebody, at this point hadn't identified Him yet, they see somebody walking on the water. Now, if you had a swimming pool, or maybe if you were at the beach and you know you were sitting there maybe in your hotel room and you look out the window down at the pool and you see some guy come walking across the pool deck, and then he doesn't deviate his steps and he just walks right across the water, I'm sure that would be something that would gander your attention. You'd be sitting back going, what's going on here? You might even go as far as to go down to see, you know, whether there was something going on with that pool. Was there like a clear bridge across it or something? But you're going to be looking for it because it's out of the ordinary. It is extraordinary. And the miracles of Jesus are just that. So when the disciples saw Jesus, their initial reaction was one of fear as well as disbelief. And that's just expressing our human frailty. Now Jesus gives them some words. When He sees that, He knows what's going on. He senses that they're not only afraid, but their mind's kind of blown at this point as they've seen Him. But He says this. He says, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. Okay? And when Jesus said that, that's offering some reassurance, you know, to those that are in the boat that, oh, okay, that's Jesus. That's cool. He's powerful. We've seen what he can do. He is with us. He's not somewhere far off. He's not up in the mountain anymore. He's right here with us. I want to remind you, each and every one today, that Jesus is with you right now. And he's saying to you, do not be afraid. He is offering reassurance. And this also was highlighting the divine identity of who Jesus is. So in the midst of this, and I laugh, a lot of times in the Word of God, I laugh at Peter. I guess because Peter kind of reminds me of me. Peter was that guy who was a disciple that was very good about opening up his mouth and inserting his foot, or saying, as some would say, opening his mouth before he engaged his brain. So remember what's going on. Remember what's taking place. They are in the middle of a bad storm, ship or boats being tossed to and fro. They see Jesus, and then, you know, Peter makes a request of Jesus. You know, Peter's request and his subsequent experience of walking on the water illustrate both the possibilities of faith as well as the pitfalls of doubt. Those are two things that you need to remember. You know, faith and fear do not go hand in hand. So Peter basically, you know, says, he's like, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out there where you are. Now, I'm sure Peter probably didn't think this thing through, because all of a sudden Jesus says, great, Peter, come on out. Come on over to where I am. Now, picture what's going on. Big waves all around this boat. I'm sure somebody there was probably trying to bail water to keep them from sinking. Okay? I don't think they had self-bailing boats back in that day. And they're trying to hang on and bail water for everything they're worth. And then Peter gets up and steps out of the boat. I often wonder what that first step was like. You know, when Peter put his foot out there, pretty much 100% of the time before that, when Peter put his foot out in deep water, he was going to sink. His foot was going to go through, but it didn't happen this time. Peter stayed above water. It was like he was stepping out onto a solid surface, okay? And Peter is beginning to experience probably one of the greatest moments of his life, and one of the things that Jesus did for him in performing a miracle of allowing him to be able to step out and to walk on water. Okay, now when we think about this passage, one of the main arguments here is that faith in Jesus empowers us to overcome our fears and to step out into the unknown. You know, sometimes it's fearful. I watch this almost every year when you see a swimming pool, and undoubtedly there's usually some parents there that have some smaller children. Maybe they're learning to swim, or they've yet learned to swim. And I'll see ultimately a dad or a mom that's down there in the water, and they're encouraging the child, jump to me, I'll catch you. Just jump, I've got you, it's not a problem. And you see that fearful child that's sitting there, and their toes are kind of hanging over the edge, and they want to. You can see them wanting to do it, but there's doubt, there's fear. There's everything about, I don't know if I can do this. But see, here's the interesting part. You have to remember, who is the one in the water that is saying, come here? The one that's going to love you, the one that's going to protect you, the one that's going to watch over you. You know, a parent is not going to allow anything or any harm to come to that child while they're there. And often I have heard the mom or the dad say, just jump, trust me. You know, Jesus is the same way. There are times when he is asking us to step out of the boat onto the water amidst the storm, and every human logical instinct within us says, you can't do this. And Jesus is saying, trust me, I'm not going to let anything happen to you. And so what happens is Peter was the one who had the courage to step out. And I can only imagine what that must have looked like. Peter is taking steps. He is literally walking on top of the water, on top of these waves, heading to Jesus. And I'm sure he, at this point, he's probably going, wow, this is cool. I've never done this before. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. But then all of a sudden, something else came in. Those exact same words. You know what? I'm doing this. I'm walking on the water. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. And then what happened was Peter's focus shifted. His focus changed. No longer was he focused on making it to the Savior who had said, "Come on out of that boat, Peter." Now, all of a sudden, he begins to look around him and sees the big waves. All of a sudden, he sees the storm. All of a sudden, it dawns on him that this is not something you can do. So many times, I grew up being a big fan of Bugs Bunny, and maybe a lot of you did as well. But this kind of reminds me of the point where, you know, like in the cartoons where you'll see Wile E. Coyote and he steps off of a cliff or something and all of a sudden he stops and then he looks around, he scratches his head, and then when he realizes where he is, you see him fall. You know, at least for those moments, he has defied gravity, okay? I kind of look at the same thing happening with Peter here. You know, Peter has gotten out of the boat. He's made steps toward Jesus. In fact, Peter had to be pretty close to Jesus at the time when his faith faltered, and I'll show you why here in just a moment. But all of a sudden, he starts looking around, and he's like, yeah, I'm not supposed to be able to walk on water. I'm not supposed to be able to do any of this. And it was at that point that Peter began to sink. You see, he took his eyes off Jesus. He began to look more at the circumstances rather than the Savior. And when we take our eyes off of Jesus, doubt can cause us to falter. So you know what? You may be in the middle of a situation right now. Let me ask you, where's your vision? Are your eyes on Jesus or are your eyes more on the circumstance? Are your eyes looking at Jesus or are your eyes looking at the storm? You see, then Jesus poses a question to Peter. You know, well, first of all, let me back up. Because all of a sudden, Peter cried out to Jesus when he began to sink. He's like, Lord, save me. And here's why I said he had to be close to him, because he was close enough that Jesus could reach out to him and take him by the hand and pick him up, which he did. You know, the word tells you, he got Peter by the hand, picked him up. But then he asked Peter that question, why did you doubt? You see, that question that he asked Peter is a reminder of the necessity that you and I have to keep our focus on Christ. Yeah, I can almost hear Jesus saying, Peter, you were doing great. You had enough faith to get out of the boat. Your feet were on solid ground, even though, you know, logically they shouldn't have been. I had you. I was taking care of you. And it wasn't until you began to focus on the storm, you focused on everything except me, that is when you began to sink. Listen, I want to challenge you to make sure you keep your focus upon Christ, especially if you're in the midst of the storm, especially if you're counting on Christ to provide a miracle in your life, something out of the ordinary, something extraordinary, okay? So when we think about that in our situations, and when we make application to the scripture, you know, think about what we can apply from this particular passage. You know, in the storms of life, you know, we are called to step out in faith. It's ironic enough, and Peter, a lot of times people give Peter a hard time, but I said, you know what? There were a lot of other people in the boat that didn't take the step. They didn't have the faith to step out of the boat in the same way that Peter did. I don't know, maybe if I wasn't courageous enough to ask the question, maybe I still, when I saw Peter get out there and start heading to Jesus, that may have prompted me to do so. That's not what we read in the story. There was other boat potatoes back there. They decided, I'm not getting out of this boat. I'm gonna hang right here. So in the storms of life, Jesus calls us to step out in faith, even when the circumstances seem like they're impossible. Now, by fixing our eyes on Jesus and trusting in His power, we can overcome fear. We can overcome those doubts. Now, when the storms arise, remember that Jesus is present. He's in your circumstance, and He is ready to extend His hand if you will only call on Him. You know, be sure you see Jesus, and when you see Him, be sure that you call on Him, okay? Now, in the story, our text today of Jesus walking on water, it's not just a demonstration of His divine power, although that's what it was, but it's also a profound lesson in faith. By focusing on Jesus, we can find courage. You know, when distractions, and let's face it, distractions are all around us. When distractions arise, And when doubts begin to sink us, Jesus is there. He is ready to rescue us just like he did Peter. But let us place our trust in him. Let us place our focus upon him. Him, Jesus, the one who calms the storms, the one who walks on the water. You know, it's kind of ironic that when we look at the very end of this passage, when it says that when Jesus got back in the boat, in verse 33, it says, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. But the verse right before it, 32, says, and when they, being Jesus and Peter, got into the boat, it says the wind ceased. Jesus can calm the storms. He can calm the storms in your life as well. Listen, would you pray with me? I'll tell you what, let me go ahead and tell you what our Bible readings for this week are, and then I'll close us out in a word of prayer. Okay, next week again, we're going to take a look at it's going to be our 20th miracle of the Messiah, and I want you to spend some time this week in your Bible study in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Next week, we're going to discuss the healing of the healing of the Canaanite woman's daughter that comes out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, specifically verses 21 through 28. So be read up and studied up on that, and we'll look forward to having that time together in God's Word next Wednesday at the Wednesday Bible study. Would you look to the Lord in a word of prayer with me as we close our time today? Our Father, as we come to you, we want to thank you for the lessons of faith that we learn about in your word today. Lord, I know that there may be struggles going on in those who are hearing my voice today. And Lord, they need to be searching for you in the middle of their crisis. Lord, you're there. Father, I pray that as they see you, they will cry out to you. And Lord, as you give them instructions that may even seem out of the ordinary, they may seem extraordinary, because that's when you provide the miracle. Lord, give them the faith to step out of the boat, to walk the water towards you. And Lord, help them to keep their focus on you. Help them to not be distracted. Lord, your lessons in faith from your word today inspire us and encourage us. Help us, Father, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus amidst the storms of life. Strengthen our trust in you, Lord, and remind us that when we falter, you are there to lift us up, just like you did Peter. Lord, may our faith grow as we follow your call. And Lord, I pray that you will help us this week to be able to exercise our faith and our walk with you. As Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Hey folks, listen, thank you again for taking the time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I want to personally invite you to attend services if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge area. Our services start at 10:45 each Sunday morning. We also have opportunities for discipleship through Sunday school, through some small groups. We have Awana for the kids. In many other ways for you to stretch your faith and to grow in God's grace. Please come worship with us in spirit and in truth. I hope and pray I'll see you Sunday, and I'm just going to pray that God gives you a great week. God bless, and I'll see you Sunday.